How's everyone doing today? We're going to continue on the series we was dealing with, the Queen. The first one was called Always Protect the Queen. Today we're going to do a lesson that's entitled The Queen. We're going to be coming out of Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It reads, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help me for him." Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit, who is the only teacher and one who's able to reveal your word to the hearts of men. We ask right now for not just information, but illumination and revelation in Jesus' name. Amen. As aforementioned in the previous lesson, when God got ready to make woman, when he thought of the female gender for man, he said that it wasn't good for man to be alone and that he would make him an help meet. Now, in other translations, it may say help mate, but this is an error. Because he did not say a help mate. And even though Eve would be a helper or one suitable for man, it comes from a Hebrew word, help meet. That's M-E-E-T. It comes from a Hebrew word, a root word, that means to surround, protect, and defend. So to help give you a better understanding of this, I thought about the movie Twilight. That's that vampire and werewolf popular series. Well, I believe it was the last installment of that series where the star, Bella, who married a vampire, after marrying him, he bit her and she, of course, became a vampire also. And as the movie goes, when you are turned or changed into a vampire, you receive a special power, but you don't know what it is to afterwards. Anyway, the special power that Bella received was to be a force field for her husband. So as she figured that out and honed the gift, there came a part at the end of the movie where a fierce battle raged between their clan and another powerful vampire clan. And in the end, Bella's husband was being attacked by multiple from the enemy forces. And when Bella saw it, wherever she was able to project herself as a force field around her husband. And as he was being attacked by multiple people, Bella projected that force field, and he, her husband, was able to continue to fight and not get harmed. And so, when I saw that in the movie, I thought of Eve. I thought of God's original intent when he thought of making Eve, when he said it's not good for man to be alone. I am going to make him a helpmeet, a force field, if you would, someone who could surround and protect Adam. And so, sisters, I want you to understand, those of you who are wives, you have a God-given anointing to be your husband's helpmeet, to be his surrounding and protection, to be his force field, that even when he leaves and goes into the world and deal with the enemy on all those different levels, your prayers, your intercession, your purpose in his life is to be his force field, among other things. But I'm dealing with what the original Hebrew says. Okay. And so we're going to continue with the theme of the game of chess, because I believe as we break it down using that analogy, it brings a richer and deeper understanding to the text. As aforementioned, we know in the game of chess that the king is the most important player. Because if he is checkmated, the game is over. Now, that's pretty heavy when we look at this text, and I hope I can get to everything. But the queen is the most powerful player in the game. All right. So the king is the most important because the game is determined on whether he's checkmated or not. But the queen is the most powerful player in the game. And she's the most powerful player in the game because she is designed and given more ability to help protect the king. And we see this in the Genesis chapter 2 text. When God thought of woman, he thought of someone who could help protect the king. Now, this is seen even in where he went and got a rib from man to make woman. Protection is even seen in the part of man's anatomy that God went to. We know he put Adam in a deep sleep and he took one of his ribs and made Eve from it. So just by going to the rib cage indicates to us, because the rib cage is what surrounds and protects the vital organs. So it's even indicative in where he went to take something from man in order to make woman. Now let's look at this a little closer. Just for the record, God did not take something from man's feet, which means he didn't intend for woman to be underneath man. He did not take something from man's head to make woman, which means he did not intend the woman to be above the man. That's hard. I know that's hard for some of you sisters to get, but it's the truth anyway. And we know God did not take something from man's back to make woman, which means the woman is not supposed to be behind the man. So as look at, as simple as it is just to look at the text and where God went to and took from Adam to make woman, gives us even more insight to this whole thing. He went to the rib cage and he took a rib because the ribs is what protects and surround the vital organs. And the rib cage is located on the side of man, which means God originally intended for woman to rule next to man. We know this truth simply because he said, or Adam said, when God presented Eve to him, he said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall become one." So we know in the fact that God intended for the husband and wife to be one, that is connected to how they would rule. Now, I can hear someone already saying, well, the Bible says man is the head. Well, of course, we have to have order. Of course, when it comes to the decision making, he gets the last word. Of course, he goes first because he's stronger, and God put him here first. But as far as authority, read your Bible, the end of Genesis chapter 1 and in Genesis chapter 5. First of all, God called their name Adam. He didn't see Adam different than Eve. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. And the Bible says he blessed them. He told them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. See, he called their name Adam. I'll deal with that in another segment if possible. But God originally intended for them to rule together. Now, I want you to notice something. Before the fall, woman ruled next to Adam, next to her man. She came from his rib, his side. After the fall, because Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the curse that was given to the female gender, to woman, was, your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. Take notice, before the fall, she ruled next to him. After the fall, her desire would be to her husband, and he would rule over her. You need to ask yourself, sister, are you in a relationship where your man rules over you or next to you? If you're ruling next to your man, you're operating in God's originally intent and purpose for a husband and wife. If your husband is ruling over you, you are operating in the curse, and it is the perversion of God's original intent for marriage. Now, let's look a little closer as we delve more into the purpose of the woman, which is to surround and protect her husband. All right? So, I don't believe that when God thought of woman, he said, I'm going to put man in a deep sleep and I'm going to go to his rib cage. I don't think God said any, many, miny, mo as far as which rib he would use. We know that God is a God of purpose, from the smallest details in creation to the greatest details in creation. He is a God of purpose, and we know this purpose was revealed even the more when he got ready to make the highest part of creation, which is man, the only part of creation that he made in his image and after his likeness. So God didn't just put Adam in a deep sleep and close his eyes and picked any random rib to make Eve from. Because he's a God of purpose, the rib he chose has purpose. You might be saying, preacher, what are you talking about? How do we know which rib God chose to make woman from? Thank you. I'm glad you asked. I believe it was the fifth rib. I didn't just pull this out of the air, but let's let the Bible interpret the Bible, okay? Rib is only mentioned 5 times in the Bible. The first time is when he put Adam in a deep sleep and went to man's rib to make a woman. The other 4 times, now remember, it's only mentioned 5 times. Clue number one, breadcrumb number one. The other 4 times that rib is mentioned is in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 23, 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 27, 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 6, 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 10. In each one of those 4 passages, 2 men are in battle or fighting one another, and one get the upper hand by stabbing the other under the 5th rib. This is not by coincidence or happenstance. Rib is only mentioned 5 times in scripture. The first one when God made woman from the rib. It is not coincidence that the other 4 times that rib is mentioned, someone is being stabbed under the 5th rib. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I believe when God thought of making woman, he said, I'm going to go to the rib. I believe he went to the fifth rib. And let me explain why. In the other four passages where someone was stabbed under the fifth rib was because in hand-to-hand combat, expert warriors understood the quickest way to kill the enemy was to stab them under the fifth rib, because that was the closest one to man's heart. So in hand-to-hand combat, if you stab your opponent under the fifth rib, you will penetrate the heart and death comes immediately. Now let me give you a footnote concerning that. Under the fifth rib is the closest to the left ventricle of the heart, which is the largest and most vital pumping chamber of the heart. It's responsible for pumping blood to the entire body. What am I trying to say? God, I believe, based on scripture, I believe when God got ready to make woman, the helpmeet, the one who would surround, protect, and defend man, he went to the part of man's body that was the rib cage, which functioned as something that surrounded and protected the vital organs. And I believe he went to the fifth rib because it's the closest rib to man's heart. And under the fifth rib is right where the left ventricle of the heart is, which is the largest and most vital pumping chamber, which supplies and pumps blood to the entire body. Now, along with that, I want you guys to see something else. Since we can see that it was the fifth rib that God probably used when he took a rib from Adam to make woman. Sisters, I want you to understand that when he thought of you, he thought of the one who would be closest to man's heart. So he took the rib that was closest to the heart. There isn't a more important person besides the Holy Spirit on the earth and in the earth for the man than his rib, than his Eve, than his wife. Now, this is connected, now that we understand the fifth rib, this is connected to the meaning of the number five, because all numbers in scripture have relevance, have meaning, and is prophetic and brings great insight into interpreting that passage. So most people understand that five is the number of grace, and that is one of the meanings of the number five. And so we can look at that and put it together and say, your woman, your wife, who came from your fifth rib, represents the grace of God in your life, represents the unmerited favor. Could this be why the scripture says a man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor with God? See, favor is connected to grace. And I told you the flip side of that coin, because every coin has two sides. One side is grace, the unmerited favor of God. The other side, the other meaning of grace, is God's ability and strength to get the job done. Okay? So our woman, our wives, are the grace of God in our life and someone who brings the ability to get the job done. See, God would give a man vision, but he would put in that woman the ability to have the provision. But the number five also has another meaning. As I researched it, five also means life and death. Now, I don't have the time to really break that down how I want to, because that can get pretty deep. But if you read in the book of Genesis, I believe chapter five, where it's breaking down the lineage of Adam through his third son, Seth, as it gives you the ages of when each son or seed began to have children and the age of when they died, for over 90% of the men in that lineage, their ages when they begin to reproduce and their age when they died are divisible by five, because the age where they were able to give life was divisible by five, and the age when they died was divisible by five. And so five can also mean life and death. So how does this fit in the text? Well, depending on what kind of woman or wife we have in our life, could either bring life to your life or death to your life. And at the same time, depending on how you treat that woman that's in your life, could either bring life or it can bring death. That'll preach by itself. Let's move on. So we know the king is the most important player in the game, but the queen is the most powerful player in the game. In the game of chess, the queen has the most moves. The rook can only move one way. The knight has its own special move. The pawn has its own special move. The bishop has its own special move. Even the king has his own way to move. But the only player on the board who can move vertical, horizontal, and diagonal is the queen. The only player who has the most moves is the queen, for one reason: in order to remove the king's enemy and protect the queen, or protect the king. So she has been given those many abilities and many ways to move in order to remove the king's enemy and to be able to protect the king. Now, it has long been said that girls are at least 4 years ahead of every man child, 4 years more advanced than a boy. God designed it this way because it goes back to the heart of this text. He designed the female gender to surround, protect, and defend the man. So she is already born in an advanced state. Because, as I heard someone put, the second edition is always better than the first. When he made man, the highest form or part of his creation, he blessed it. Now, for you Bible scholars, I want you to go back and read what the Hebrew word means, blessed. After he made man, the Bible says, and he blessed it. Check it out. And as awesome of a creation that Adam was, standing in the image and likeness of God, standing as a living soul with the very breath of God breathing to him, supreme intelligence, the ability to name all creatures on the planet, the ability to rule and reign over the planet, that was an awesome creature. And we've not fully understood what level of a supreme being that Adam was. Most of us still believe that he was some naked Neanderthal running through the garden and just ate from a tree, but you don't have a clue how awesome this brother was. This was God's highest creation. He wasn't nothing to play with. And I assume my book will be out soon on the revelation of Adam, and we will reproduce God's first man. And you'll see Adam in a whole new light. But even after making something as awesome as Adam. He made woman behind that. And as I said, they say the second edition is always better than the first. And I believe that because the second edition was designed to not just love them, but surround them and protect them. That would take a little more ability. But getting back to the game of chess, the queen has all the moves. Now let's relate it to the female gender and the wife for the man or the husband, okay? She has the most moves. So let's dig into those extra moves that the woman have in our lives, brother. Because he made her the female gender, she's the emotional being. She's the emotional gender. And this is where the moves come in. If you look up emotions in the dictionary, I believe it comes from a Latin word, emovere, which means to move. So when something emotes, that means it's moving. And yes, it can be unpredictable. Yes, it can seem bipolar sometimes, but you have to understand emotions move. It does not stand still. It has its purpose, especially in a woman who knows how to control it. So the queen have the most moves because the queen is the female gender, the emotional gender, which means she can feel. She moves emotionally. She can sense. These are the moves that the queen have on our board and our chess game, brothers. She can sense some things that you probably won't. Discern some things that you didn't pick up on. Detect some things that you're not aware of. Perceive and identify some stuff that we're not picking up on. She can pick up and recognize, tell apart, distinguish. Her radar detector is impeccable when it comes to danger, especially of her house and especially of her king. These are the moves, the emotions, the senses and discernment that God put in the queen for the specific purpose of removing our enemies and protecting us, brothers. There's some days you might not understand it because her emotions is hot and cold and back and forth. But God designed her that way because someday she needs to move diagonally against the enemy attacking her king. Someday she needs to move vertically against the enemy attacking her king. There's some days she needs to move horizontally because on her radar, her discernment and her prayers and intercession, that's what she's picking up on. And God have given her the ability to make moves for you, not against you. Now let's look at this. Every leader, especially in royalty, needs the best intelligence and intelligence agencies in order to properly protect the head or royalty. Okay? Every king, prime minister, or president, they need raw, accurate intelligence in order to protect the crown, in order to protect their leader. So presidents have Secret Service. The president of the United States have Central Intelligence Agency. The president has a Federal Bureau of Investigation. He has a National Security Agency and a Homeland Security. All of those different titles are prophetic in the function of the queen and her ability to protect the king. So, brothers, your queen have been built to make moves in order to protect you and remove your enemies, but she needs raw intelligence. She needs the right information. We may not like it when she go into Secret Service mode. We may not like it when she go into CIA, FBI, NSA, but hear me, it's for your homeland security. Because without the proper intelligence and information, the queen cannot protect the king. That means, brothers, when your queen asks you questions, she's not being insecure. She's not coming from a past broken state of mind. She's just trying to protect her king. Brothers, your wife is your national security advisor. She is your homeland security secretary. Now, if she is the security, it's going to make it harder for her to protect and secure the home and secure the king when she needs information and you have set up secondary security to keep the security out of your information. What am I trying to say? Brothers, why do we have passwords and security codes on everything? Laptops, computers, phones, notepads. Do you realize the one that God designed and purposed as your own homeland security, that all your secondary security that's keeping her from raw data and information to keep you secure, you have secured the information from the security. She can't protect you without access to security and information. So, brothers, many times we shoot ourselves in the foot when you set up security from your own security. It's not insecurity. She's trying to keep you secure. Now, brothers, when a woman cannot get the raw data and information that she needs from us, when we got passwords and security codes and everything, which usually means you're probably doing something that is going to endanger homeland security, she cannot keep us secure when we have kicked her out of the secure arena. And when a woman in time cannot help maintain homeland security, cannot get the central intelligence that she needs, cannot provide accurate abilities to be your national security advisor, this is what we push her to. We push her to go deep state. And you do not ever want your woman to go deep state. You do not want her to go off the grid on you, because that's when it gets real heavy. Let's look at deep state. Well, the word of God says that his deep calls unto our deep. He's speaking spiritually. He's talking about that which comes from the spirit realm, the deepest internal bowels of man. When she goes deep state, brother, that's when your woman in tears gets on her knees and begin to cry out to God. And she says some things that you don't ever want her to have to say. And that is, Lord, show me what's going on. You gonna wish you had just been a man and told her what was going on. Because when she go to her creator that designed her to surround you, protect you, and defend you, that went to the rib cage, which surrounds and protect the vital organs, when you push her to go on her knees and go to the one that designed her, that made her from the fifth rib, the one that's closest to your heart, when you don't have enough sense to give her the raw data and information to maintain homeland security, because you're doing something stupid, you better hear me by the Holy Ghost when she drop her down on her knees and she say, Father, show me what's going on. She just went deep state on you, Doc. And let me tell you something, his deep gonna call into her deep. And that's when she start having dreams. That's when she start having visions. That's when the Holy Ghost start dropping dimes on you, homie. That's when her investigative skills kick in that you can't even imagine. That's when she's able to hack into stuff the government don't know how to hack into. But at the end of the day, it's still all done to protect you. Even after a woman finds some information that would break her heart, because she was made from your fifth rib, the closest rib to man's heart, look at the compassion and mercy and forgiveness she still have for you, because it's still deep on the inside to nurture you and protect you and still be there for you. Why is it that we always hurt the number one thing that's closest to our heart? In my conclusion, we know from scripture that the serpent went after the queen. When he reared his head, he went directly to the force field. He went directly to the rib cage. He went directly to the queen. Why? Because she's the most powerful player in the game. And as aforementioned, if the enemy can remove the queen, checkmating the king is so much easier. He understood that woman was made for the glory of man. He understood that woman, or Eve, the female gender, is man's object of affection. He knew if he could get Eve, the object of man's affection, his force field, the one that surround and protect him, if he could get Eve to fall, Adam no longer had homeland security. And because Eve was the object of Adam's affection, it was like shooting fish in a barrel. Adam would be sure to follow. So brothers, don't make your wife's job harder than what it is. Give her what she needs at any cost, the information and the raw intelligence, so that she can be your force field, so that you would be able to battle and not be harmed because of the intercession and prayers of your wife. She's designed to surround you, protect you, and defend you, so that the king can be kept from being checkmate.